Welcome to episode 58 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. This season, I'm sharing new episodes every Monday discussing all things vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Today, I am joined by vegan restaurant owner Natalie Pozo Londono. Growing up in Colombia, it wasn't always easy being the vegan kid, but that didn't stop Natalie. Vegan since she was 7, inspired and led by her mom after one of Natalie's siblings became sick from eating animal products, Natalie grew up with a strong sense of right and wrong, an even stronger sense of who she is. She thanks God every day that her mom chose this lifestyle for her family, and she thanks her mom for teaching her to love all animals and nature. Natalie is now the proud owner of Red's Leaf Cafe, where she brings her knowledge and experience of her 33 years as a vegan to the dishes she prepares every day. I can't wait for you to meet Natalie. The depth of her soul comes through so clearly during our chat. There is no doubt that she leads her life from her heart. From going vegan at age 7 with her mom and brother, to food and her restaurant, to participating in her first and second Nork Save, and laughing about how tricky we both find making hummus. Natalie has given us all the feels and then some. If you're in the Metuchen, New Jersey area, stop by her restaurant, Red's Leaf Cafe, and tell her about your vegan journey, even if it's just starting that day, and make a new friend. Hey, Natalie, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hi, good morning, Kimberly. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm so glad to have this connection with you and to have this conversation today.
Thank you so much. Me too.
So as we always do, I like to start my podcast episodes with this question. Please share your vegan journey.
My vegan journey. So I'm from Colombia. Everything started in Colombia when I was 7. My mom made us vegan due to my brother getting sick from something that he ate, from meat. And everything started there, but I think it was something that my mom wanted to do all her life, but then she found the perfect reason for us to become vegans. And it's been over 33 years, and I feel great. Me and my brother and my mom, we continue being vegans. It's been a long journey, but very, very nice. Nice and healthy, thank God. Everything started because of health issues. Then it started relating to look at the cow, look at the chicken, look at this, look at that, all animal lover. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, it's been a beautiful journey. I will never go back. I don't know what meat tastes like. I don't remember. And I feel great. And this is my adventure.
That's really amazing. Do you remember, was it difficult as a child? Like, were your friends like, what are you doing? Did they think it was weird? Or did you find that you had like a really supportive community around you?
No, it was hard because at that age and in a country where everyone eats meat and it's like a main dish in your plate, it was hard. But for me, the love for the animals was more there than anything else. So I am a person that I'm strong. So if they will bully me, I will come out with something worse for them. But I always stick to it. I didn't let nobody get to me. It was my decision. And that's it.
That's awesome. How about your mom? Do you remember if she kind of faced things like your kids can't be healthy, or like, do you, and I mean, you were young, so maybe you don't remember that.
I do remember, actually, yes, the family, my aunt, my father, he was here in the United States and we were back in Colombia. He used to tell my mom, you have to buy the kids meat. you cannot have them like that. You're gonna be, they're gonna call child, like the people who take their kids away from mm-hmm. you, because your kids are not gonna be with good nutrients. My mom used to tell him, just relax, they're gonna be perfect. And if I see something is wrong, I'm gonna take them to the doctor. But she's, my mom is like very animal lover. She's like mm-hmm. a hippie. She loves that. So she's into like, come on, let it flow, let it be. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. And I have one sister that she did not want to become vegan. Mm. She was so strong. We all have our strong personality. And she's the older sister, and she did not want to be a vegan. Mm. She was, I'm not. You're going to buy me what I need to eat, and that's it. But as a respect, my mom made her make her own decisions. So this is how we go through this.
Yeah.
And thank God we're healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
I think that's a great story, because it shows that you can, even as a child, like people, I think often are like, oh, kids don't know what they want. They don't understand. But at the age of 7, you were like, yeah, this is right. Like this is who I am. And you were able to step into that, and you had the support of your mom, and your brother was doing the same thing. But like you said, like when kids were bullying you, you were like, no, you're not going to change my mind. And you met them with the same, you know, kind of force that they were meeting you. And I love to hear that. Like, I don't have kids myself, but I have had many friends who have kids, and they'll say things like, you don't know what it's like to feed kids. Like, they're so picky, and they go through phases, and they won't eat this, that, and the other thing. So you have to just give them whatever they'll eat. And if that means chicken nuggets, sorry for you, vegan, like you've got to feed your kid chicken nuggets. And I always was like, I don't think so. And you're just proof that, like, no, you don't. Like, your kid knows what they want. They know what's good for them, and what fits their personality. And I love that. I love that at 7, you were like, no way.
Last week, I have to give you this little note. Last week, I met at the restaurant this kid. He was 11 years old. They were coming from upstate New York. Mm-hmm. They were going to Six Flags with him and his dad. They were having like a father and boys. Oh. And it was great. So it was around 10:30 in the morning. The kid asked me, did you sell lunch at this time? I said, yes, sweetie, no problem. As long as you know you're going to wait a couple minutes, because it's not totally ready, everything, but you will wait. He tells me, yeah. I said, okay, no problem. So I'm wondering, maybe he's going to ask for a hamburger. So I ask him, are you vegan? So he goes, yeah, I'm vegan since I born. So I'm like, oh. So he's probably going to ask for a hamburger. So he gets a cauliflower.
Oh.
Gets the cauliflower, and he gets a salad with it. So I ask him, do you like everything in your salad? He tells me, yeah, I like everything. Kimberly, when I got the plate to this kid, the father got the hamburger, the dude got the cauliflower with the salad. The first thing that he went in is to eat the salad.
Wow.
But the pleasure that I saw how he was eating this salad, Aww. He was licking the fork. I was like, oh my God, it gives me such a join seeing yeah. you. And I had it to tell him, I said, it's so nice to see a kid this age eating so healthy, knowing what he really needs to eat.
Yeah.
And then eating the hamburger, the burger. I'm like, I would have think that this, in this case, it would have been different. Mm-hmm. You were going to get the burger, and daddy was going to get the cauliflower. So he goes, no, my dad always likes to have the junk. I love salad. And then he's like, I wanted to ask him, do you want more? But then I see like he's getting full. I'm like, oh my God, it's so pretty. I love to see that.
That's so wonderful.
It was really something that it makes my day. And yeah. I was this make my day, seeing a kid 11 years old eating a salad, like you eating like French fries, like you see every kid outside.
Yeah.
So joy.
Oh, it's so awesome. And I wonder, that speaks, I think, maybe to the fact that he was lucky enough to be raised vegan. So he was exposed to lots of vegetables and things like that from a pretty young age. And maybe his dad wasn't. And so his dad kind of grew up on burgers and French fries. And so we're kind of still drawn to those things we're familiar with. And for the kid that, you know, his experience has just been different.
Yes, really, that's what it showed right away. Yeah. But I was like very happy to see that, you know, it made my day. That Saturday I was so happy, and all I talk about it was him, and here I am again still talking about him. I'm like, he's just an amazing boy.
Yeah. Oh gosh, you must see it. So you mentioned the restaurant, and you know, we've got a lot to get to as well, but I definitely want to talk about the restaurant. I was so excited. My parents live in Edison, so they're the next town over from you. And I'd been wanting a vegan restaurant close to them. And when yours opened, we were like, it was my mom's birthday, and like, this is a perfect opportunity because my mom's vegan now too. And I love it. It's such an adorable little spot, and the food is amazing. And you can feel and taste the love that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And I just thinking about you there, like every day, like watching people sit and enjoy your food and knowing that, yeah, vegans are coming in, but I bet you non-vegans are coming in too.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people come, you know, with a thinking, an example, I have a neighbor. He's an older man, and I invite him, I would say a month and a half ago, right when we opened up, he wasn't coming. I'm like, maybe he thinks that the food is not going to be good. I'm going to invite him again. I invite him again. I give him a flyer. I say, come on, Ed, come to our restaurant. So he goes, oh, okay, yes, I'm going to tell my partner to come with me. I say, okay. One day, he shows up. I was like, oh, my God, he's here. I'm like, yeah, welcome. I didn't know his partner. I met her. Very nice, sweet lady. So she goes, okay, what can we eat here? I said, well, you really can eat everything here. Everything. If you don't like it, you don't pay for it. But anyways, they were not going to pay for it because I invited. Mm-hmm. So I tell them, just come in and have the experience. Just order something that you think that you might like. Oh, wait. So they're looking at the menu. Oh, I thought it was going to be only salads. I said, no, totally not. So they started saying, we thought when we were coming here, we ate a little bit at home because we thought we were going to eat just salads. I said, no, we're vegan people. We don't eat just salad. Mm-hmm. We eat everything except anything that it has an animal product. Oh, so wait a minute. So the guy gets a burger, the lady gets the tostones, mm-hmm. and they are eating it. And I'm once in a while checking, has everything, guys. Oh my God, this is so good. I didn't think. I was like, okay, that's great. They leave happy. I say, okay, great. They had experience. Maybe they come back, maybe they're not. Yesterday, they came back with friends. I know the neighbors that I have, they brought them in, and there they are. So that means that they had a good experience. Mm-hmm. They ate something healthy. And the other neighbors were asking Ed, should we eat at home? Because what we're going to eat at that restaurant, you say it's vegan. There is nothing for us to eat. Ed tells them, don't eat anything. I promise you, you're going to be so satisfied with the food. From someone who eats meat daily, you know. Mm-hmm. So what I want to bring into this restaurant is not only vegan people. I want people to have the vegan days.
Yeah,
you know, once in a while, if you have a vegan food, I know that you're saving one animal. Mm-hmm. And it's an experience. People have some concept of us vegan people eat very boring, and it's not true.
No,
we eat so good, so mm-hmm. healthy, so fun.
Yeah,
it's a different experience. Sometimes I say to people, you eat boring. I don't. I eat that every day. I eat something different. it's not the same plate, the mm-hmm. same way that I cook every day. From a mushroom, you can make 100 recipes. Yeah. And you have a piece of meat, you can make maybe two. Mm-hmm. If
that. Yeah. And like, you even think about what the plate looks like, right? You brought out our plates. They were so colorful and they were like flowers on them. And just the visual experience is so beautiful. And then you think about eating at a restaurant where the focus is animals and the flesh is always kind of gray or white. And there's like, you know, a small, sad, overcooked pile of broccoli and like a white potato or rice. And there's just nothing exciting to look at on that plate. So even just from the visual experience, it's like, whoa, we're having so much more fun over here on the vegan side.
There's a lot of people tell me that it's you know, even at home before I opened the restaurant, it was always I love to cook mm-hmm. and I love to put love on my food.
Yeah,
I believe that just if you add another 3 minutes on serving your food, you don't have to be an expert, because I'm totally away, far, far away from being an expert. But as long as you do it with love, something beautiful is going to come out in that plate.
Mm-hmm.
Something pretty, the person is going to appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you don't have nobody to appreciate it, you will appreciate it yourself when you're eating it.
That's because right. Something
looks totally different when you put a little bit of extra love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I've got goosebumps and like chills. You're so right. And, you know, there's just so much more peace when we're cooking that way, when we're eating vegan food, and just knowing what we're not contributing to and being able to nourish ourselves and those that we love in a way that our bodies really need. And it's just... It's the most beautiful decision I've ever made. And anyone who asks me, I will tell them my only regret, as every vegan says, is that I didn't do it earlier. Well, maybe not you, because you did it pretty early in life, but I was 21, almost 21 when I finally made the decision to stop eating animals. And I'm so, so thankful. What a different life. What a more beautiful life I've had because of that choice.
Yeah, you get so conscious about other things around you, about you start caring about animals.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you can love an animal, you can love anyone. That you know that you're not harming any animal because you need to feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I feel like you live with more peace in your soul.
Yeah, for sure.
People might criticize it, but I think it's the best way of being.
Yeah. I think too, a lot of times the criticism comes almost from a place of guilt.
I think where, so.
Right. You know, they feel like, well, I like animals or I love animals. And then they're like, when someone reminds them, yeah, but what about the animals on your plate who are able to experience life in the same way we can witness animals who live with us experience their lives, dogs and cats? We can see them feel joy. We can feel them. We can see them feel sad or disappointed, or when they're in pain, when they're happy. Why wouldn't other mammals like cows and, you know, pigs and chickens, why wouldn't they be able to have that same life experience? And I think when it's put in front of someone who enjoys eating animals, there is that like disconnect, I think. And they're like, oh, this is, I don't like the way that feels. But then we are so good as humans at disconnecting from that emotion and just being, putting that wall up, right? Cognitive dissonance, where we're just like, people will say, nope, I know, don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know what happens, because then I wouldn't be able to eat cheese anymore. Like, yeah, that's why we're telling you what happens. Stop eating cheese.
You know, these days, especially, it's been like, I think 10 years where there is so many brands of cheese that they taste like a lot of people go, they smell like it.
Mm-hmm.
You really, in life, I don't think it's your taste buds. It's what you see. Food goes from what you see. If you yeah. see a burger with everything that you like, bacon, but fake bacon, and you present it to someone and you don't tell them this is vegan, a person mm-hmm. will eat it and think it maybe tastes a little bit different. Oh my God.
Yeah. But
that's the thing. People only want to know and only want to eat what they know. It's, I think, culture.
Mm-hmm.
We are exposed to that you must eat meat to be right. healthy, which is not true.
Mm-mm.
When people ask me, wait a minute, you vegan for 33 years? Oh my God, where did you get your protein from? Am I, you see me? I did not disappear.
Right.
I'm here and I get my protein for so many sources. Only meat doesn't give you protein. So I start explaining them and they're like, oh. Like they didn't know, but of course they know because mm-hmm. it's something that we all know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're growing up, if you're a kid, maybe I will understand because you don't know the food, what you're cooking. But as a growing up, I'm like, we need to inform more people more often.
So when we talked, when we did our pre-podcast call to decide what we would talk about, that morning you were about to join the NORC Save and watch the animals come through in the trucks going to a slaughterhouse.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. How was that experience?
Okay. At the restaurant, I met a very, very nice guy and his wife. They started talking to me about it. But I'm one of those persons that I don't like to see suffering, especially mm-hmm. animals. Because, you know, they cannot defend themselves.
Yeah.
So he told me, Natalie, I would like you to come over. And I didn't understand because, I mean, I've never been exposed. He tells me he's an activist. I'm like, but what do you mean? What do you do? So he explained it to me. He fights for the rights for the animals. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's so nice. Oh, my God. So he told me we will meet up in Newark every 3 weeks on a Thursday. And it's a slaughterhouse. I never heard what it was. For me, I didn't mm-hmm. know. I'm going to say a month and a half ago, what was a slaughterhouse? I didn't know what it was because I never been exposed to it. Yeah. So I asked him, what do you mean a slaughterhouse? He goes, yeah, where they kill animals. I'm like, and you want me to come?
Right.
No. I tell him, no, you crazy? I cannot see that. He goes, no, you don't see the part. What you see is that, you know, we go and give them comfortable, we give water to the animals before someone takes them inside and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my God. So I went. That wasn't last Thursday when we spoke. I went a month prior.
Oh, okay.
And then thank God that day there was no truck. I say, oh God, thank you, Jesus, because I really like when you get there, what you feel. The energy that you feel is so heavy. You, even though you don't see nothing, I don't know, I felt it like something was in my head.
Yeah.
I felt it that all I wanted to do was cry. There was no reason because there was nothing around it. So I said, okay, you know what? I don't think there is nothing here. I think we're going to go. I'm going to go. So he's like, okay, no problem. We went to like a breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Nearby, a vegan restaurant. We went, we had breakfast. I said, okay, thank you, God. Then he invited me again. Natalie, this day, we're going to have another thing over there. If you want to come, I say, okay, well, I'm going to come because he invites me. I come, but you already, you know, that night, prior that night, I don't sleep because I'm thinking what I'm going to see. This is horrible. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And your mind is so strong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, oh my God, I get there, and there is a big truck, like two floors.
Mm.
And then I started crying in the car. I'm like, wait, get out of the car. Go say hi to everyone. So I get out of the car. And then they're like, okay, here it is, water for the cows. There was only cows in this straw. So they're like, they probably will not come up to you very easy. It will take time for them to come up because they know. To me, I grew up in Colombia. I was exposed to a lot of animals. My dream was always to have a baby cow, have a farm, have a baby cow, and have her as my pet and have a horse. I had horses when I was young, but I wanted to have a horse. So when I went close to this truck and I see these cows, I see their eyes. I don't know. For me, I feel that I'm easy to connect with animals. I don't know. Maybe that's what I think, but I feel that I get easy connecting with animals. And I see these cows and I see their eyes open up and they're like, they're so scared. And I'm like, and then I started crying. I'm like, no, come here. I'm going to give you. And I'm like, I wish I had something here to take this strong apart. Like, I'm thinking all these things, like, how this guy, this human being knows what is he doing? And I started, like, so emotionally, and I'm trying to give them water. But obviously, my energy is by now so heavy and so sad. And I know that this is not what I want to give the cows. I want to give them comfortable, but it's so hard for me because this is my first time seeing this. And I'm saying, Natalie, please come down. Just give them comfort. And when I realize I need to come down, I have to breathe. Then the cows, they started coming towards me to get water. And then you pet them. And then the guy gets all mad and tells you move. And then you have to move. And then he takes them in. And that's it. But it is. It is so heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know how this person who... it doesn't begin from him. It begins from the person where the cow is growing. How this person knows that it's growing this animal, feeding this animal, and it's going to give up on this animal for... I'm just going to make up a number, for $100. How this person is going to live his life.
Yeah. You know?
I believe everything in life, everything that you bring is, you know, the consequences of life, of what you have done. I don't wish them bad, nothing, but I feel that how can they be happy? It's no way that they're going to be happy or going to be living a healthy and long life.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's definitely a different energy in a life led that way than in a life where we're not taking someone else's life in order to make money. And I just want to say, and hopefully I can get through it because I'm starting to feel emotional. I just want to say how beautiful it is that you were able to do that, that you were able to take your emotion down, knowing that in that moment, it wasn't about you, as difficult as it was, that you were there to give them one moment of kindness that they'd never had in their life. Just thank you for doing that and for being that person and being able to show up in that way. Because it's, we think about how short their lives are and how they don't get to live in their full, like, cowness and pigness and chickenness. They don't get to fully be who they are in the short time they're on this planet. And you were able to see them for who they are, give them that moment. So thank you for that.
Big pleasure. I wish, you know, when I came home that day, I told my husband, he's a welder. So I say, you know what? I was hoping that I had one of your big torches and I would be able to open that truck. And he goes, you crazy. You would have been in jail. You would have been in jail. I was going to open the restaurant. You cannot do that. I said, but why not? If he's doing something better, why can't I do that? Like,
right.
My right.
Yeah. Too.
Why not? But honestly, is his item, is his truck.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I was hoping that there would be a way. Maybe all the cows will start coming now and they will escape and I will see them all over the parkway tour bike.
Yeah.
Like, you know, very close to there. Like, I was picturing myself, like, if this truck, something happens and one cow starts falling, it falls out from the truck and then this guy gets crazy and all the cows just start running. I hear it and I know that if an animal gets out from this truck, they cannot catch him again to put him back in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
They have to let him be. So I was like, I don't know. I wish I had the power of opening every truck on the from whatever way they're coming from and be able to free these animals.
Mm-hmm. Me too. We each have our own way, right? That we are, you know, doing things that hopefully will open people's eyes and get them to live differently. You through your restaurant, me through my podcast. You know, I guess it may even be more effective because we're able to reach people in these different ways in moments where they aren't maybe feeling defensive, because I imagine that the guy driving the truck is very defensive when the activists are trying to engage with the animals. And I imagine that the farmer, you know, we have where I live up in Northwest New Jersey, we have one of the last auctions, live animal auctions here in town. And they operate, I think, every Tuesday, and we'll see the trucks go by. And anytime I've driven past it, I always like open my car windows and I listen, because they don't let you stop. Like, they're very prepared for animal rights activists to be there. And so people don't really do that up here. But I'll open my windows and I hear their cries, and I'll talk to them, even though they can't hear me, but I like send my energy to them, and it's so heartbreaking. But I know that the people who are bringing the animals there are like, they're in a, if I were to approach them in that moment, they're not going to hear what I have to say. They're busy trying to make money. They see these animals as commodities. They're not individuals who have an interest in life. But maybe if I got to one of those farmers and they heard my podcast, or maybe they showed up at your restaurant because a friend brought them, it might, these are moments where we can catch them with their guard down, really, and kind of really get into their heart, you know, when they're a little more receptive. So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Actually, I just have one more thing that I have.
Oh, yeah.
On the weekend, I met this very nice couple, Indian. They live in England. And, you know, I like to have a conversation. How are you vegan? I like to conversate with people. I want to know their experience.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me that they live in England. And they have, like, a farm. And next to the farm, there used to be a farm, but they sell the animals, the cows. Well, guess what? This guy has 4 kids, and this is what he's been doing all his life. He grows the animals and he sells them for meat. Well, 4 of his kids became vegan.
That's amazing.
And tell the father that he has to give whatever remains in the farm, then he must give them away. He cannot have them and sell them for meat. So he's like, but wait a minute, I need to survive. So they're like, well, if you need to survive, this is like the only way that we, the choice that we give you, you give them away to someone who's going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who came to the restaurant are the ones that they're taking care of these cows.
Aww.
They took it next to them So they will not be able to be sold for the meat product.
Mm-hmm.
And they have them now in their farm. And so I asked them, what do you do there? That was like all the conversation. So they were telling me, oh, so from the cow discharge, we use it to make gas. We use it to make power. And we use all these elements. And then he also gets, from the cow discharge, he also gets to grow, I think it's a vegetable, but I don't remember the name of it. But he was telling me, we also give him so he can grow and he can continue being a farmer, but not for vegetables.
Oh.
You know, that was like from God,
yeah.
You know, from somebody like this to make to his kids become vegan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, or you do it or you do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
I was like, I wish every kid from all these people became vegan.
Yeah.
Like the animal rights.
Yeah. You know, there is, I think Mercy for Animals, the organization, I think they have, it's called Transformation. And so they will work with farmers who currently farm animals to move to farming vegetables or fruit, depending on which area of the country they're in. And, you know, I think they're always looking for funding because it's not cheap to change over your farm and stuff. But it is nice to know that there are organizations out there working with farmers, showing them a better way of farming, a more sustainable way. We can feed a lot more people. We can care for our land a lot better when we're growing, you know, fruits and vegetables, not animals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can feed people and you can feed animals with all these vegetables. So it's not just like we're feeding people, but mm-hmm. we feed a whole planet.
Yeah. Us. Yeah. So good.
Totally.
Yeah.
To try. People have to have an experience of maybe we don't want to force anyone to be what we want them to be. No.
Right.
Something that they have to choose. Mm-hmm. Because when you choose something, you do it from your heart. When you're obligated to do it, you do it just because you have to do it. So it's not truly that you're doing it. You're doing it once in a while.
Yeah.
But maybe to try, people that they're not even vegan, to try to have less meat during the weekdays, to have 1 or 2 days without meat. Being conscious that there is animals have feelings, they have hearts. They don't want to leave for you to eat them, you know? Right. They want to live to have a life like we all do. And it would have been nice if people are a little bit more conscious about what, before they open their mouth, what they put in their mouth. Like they have to be very.
Yeah. It's, it's like thinking about who you're eating, not what you're eating.
Who you're eating.
Yeah. I love that, that your restaurant, like your tagline is like, you know, for your vegan days. And it's, you know, for us vegans, we're like, all right, we'll be there every day. but for other people, it does. And it doesn't just say like for this vegan meal, like you're like, make a whole day of it. Like, why not? And I love how encouraging it is and how open and it just, I feel like saying something like that just really makes people feel like, okay, it's not that I have to make this decision overnight. And like, we just had a really emotional conversation, right? And I would love for people to go vegan overnight. I'd love for the whole world to do it. But I live in this world and I'm aware that that's not going to happen. That's just not possible. And so since I can't have that, I want people, like you said, to make the choice themselves because it does come from a place that allows them to stick with it. It has more meaning and to feel like they're the ones in control. So deciding my vegan day. I'll be there on Wednesday. That's my vegan day. And then they know, okay, Wednesday is a vegan day. And then they start to realize that vegan days go better than meat days.
Totally. This is the opportunity.
Yeah.
For them to see, because I don't know. I know a lot of people, they come and eat in the restaurant that they are not vegan. They eat so much. And then they go out of there. They're like, but wait a minute. I don't feel bloated. I don't feel like sick. Like I want to go and lay down. I feel like I have energy. So here I am. I'm like, you see? So instead of having only one day, you can have 2 days. And you can see how your life. I believe that we don't have to wait until the doctor tells us, oh, listen, Natalie, you cannot eat this anymore because, you know, it's very bad for you. How the doctor is going to know what is not going to be bad, good or bad for me? I have to know. I have to be able to listen to my body before anybody else tells me. And if we see where we live in, you see everyone now is, a lot of people cannot tolerate any milk, any cheese. They get so sick from eating or drinking animal products. I said, don't you get it? The God is you. I believe in God. The God is sending you a sign. It's letting you know before something worse comes. But we people are so stubborn. We think we know it all.
Mm-hmm.
We don't listen.
No. It's true. We don't listen. We like our habits. We like what we like. And it's like, that's enough. And we are really disconnected from our bodies. We don't hear that message.
No, like I hear sometimes people, oh, I'm in the hospital. I have family where, oh, I'm in the hospital. Again, you're in the hospital? Why? No, I have something in my intestines. I'm like, well, will you be needed? Oh, there you go. You think you are. I'm like, no, I don't think nothing. You are what you eat. Mm-hmm. So if you don't listen, before all this pain in your stomach and all this, and you end up in the hospital for so many days, God was sending you messages, but heartburn, something. You were not feeling good. And then you decided to continue eating like, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And look, now you're in the hospital, you're getting sick. And really sometimes, then that's when they are forced to stop eating certain things. And soon as the person feels better, they go back to eat the bad things.
Yep.
And this is not how life is.
Mm-mm.
We cannot be, I mean, myself, if I eat something that it makes me sick, I listen to my body and I'm like, no, that's it. I cannot, like, for example, I cannot have fried food. I'm not allowed to have any fried food because I get sick. I listen to my body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to feel sick all the time. I eat something because I just want to eat it.
Yeah.
Usually my body cannot process right. Certain things. So I tell everyone, please hear your body. Sit down. When you eat it, you know what you're eating. See what is not right for you, what is making you not feeling good, and stop it for a period of time. And you can see how better you will feel.
And yeah. That is great advice. And, you know, I like to remind people that food is so much food is so processed, and it's just loaded with stuff that our bodies have no idea what to do with. And a lot of things are super addictive, cheese included. And so, like, I like to remind people, like, you don't have to feel guilty that you're addicted to this food, but you should acknowledge what the food is doing to you. So try to let go of the guilt that you're addicted to sodas or fried foods or, you know, whatever, because they are really addictive. And start to listen. And like you said, if a food makes you sick, don't eat it for a little while. And then you know, if you try it again and it still makes you sick, or, you know, that you just want, you miss that taste. Like, there's so many ways to replicate the things we think we can't live without in a healthy way. You know, like, we can make meals with all different spices and seasonings that can give us the flavors and the comfort we're looking for. And it doesn't have to be animal-based. It doesn't have to be super unhealthy for us. And it is just a matter of being open to seeing things in a different way.
Yes, that's the thing. Like you say, we have to be open minds,
mm-hmm.
things in a different way. So,
yeah.
But one day, with a little bit of seed that we all vegan people are putting in,
that's right,
we will be planting the most beautiful tree for this world.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's what keeps me going. When, because, you know, again, we had a super emotional conversation just a few minutes ago. Sometimes being vegan and knowing what is going on in the world is really hard. And there's so much that we have to face and internalize and work through and understand what humans are capable of, what the people we love are capable of in that way. And it can be really, really difficult. But we know that planting those seeds, we never know what sentence or story we'll share that will be that one thing that makes that person change. And that's what keeps me going, for sure.
That's how we have to wake up every day. We never know who needs us.
Yeah.
You know, who will hear us. And who will hear us for so many years, boo, 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 until we are capable to open their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Oh. Well, Natalie, I have one more question for you. Tell me about your favorite hummus or your favorite way to eat hummus. All the good stuff.
Oh, hummus?
Yeah.
I'm not a maker. Can you believe it? I love them. I love them. I love it with the pita.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. There is an Israeli store in Staten Island. It's actually a restaurant. It's called Holy Schnitzel. They make a very good hummus. I like it with an Israeli salad, which is mm-hmm. cucumber, tomatoes, and onions.
It's good.
And this is my favorite way of eating hummus. Really, I love it so much.
Yeah.
Say I would, but no, I'm not. Because, But yeah, I'm not such a good maker on the hummus. I made ones with beets because I'm addicted to beets.
Okay.
It wasn't that good.
It was probably really pretty, though.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I believe everyone has to be able to do what they know to do the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I try my best. I put all my love. Myself, I did not like it so much. My husband said it was very good, but he is even a curtain. If I fold that into like a beautiful and I put a flower on it, he says it's amazing. But I'm going to try to do it again.
Okay.
Since I spoke to you last week, 2 weeks ago, I say I should try another recipe. Let me see if maybe I got better at it. But for some reason, the hummus doesn't come up. Yeah. I can cook chickpeas, but I cannot cook hummus. It's easier, but for some reason, doesn't allow my hands to become. Maybe because God knows that I should not be eating it all.
I have made hummus many times and it does not come out the same. It's been different every single time I've made it. It's tricky.
Like using the same ingredients?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, to make good hummus,
it's an art.
It's, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to be invited to eat hummus anytime. Mm-hmm. But I don't invite you to eat my hummus.
So if you're showing up at a potluck, you're not bringing the hummus.
No. I bring something else that I know how to make. But no, I don't want people to be disappointed. I will go to your restaurant. That's the only thing that I don't know how to make. Hummus. The rest of it, I'm okay.
It's important to know our strengths.
Yes, totally. Like my husband always tells me, but you should try it. I said, no. You know what? There is a saying in Spanish. If you're a shoemaker, you make shoes. If you do this, you do that. But don't be a shoemaker and then you're now going to be a chef. No, because it's not your thing. It's not. Mm-hmm. And hummus, obviously, don't want to be nice part of my me.
Well, luckily, there's a lot of really tasty ones readily available right at the grocery store, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, I totally think there's a lot of them outside.
Yeah. My husband and I were just in Pennsylvania over the weekend for a concert, and it was at the Keswick Theater, which is kind of in like a really cute town that where there's like shops and you can like walk to, and there's different restaurants, and there's a Mediterranean restaurant there. And we were both in the mood for like hummus and falafel, so we were able to grab lunch there, and it was so good with the Israeli salad and the falafel and the tahini sauce and the vegan tzatziki, which I'm probably mispronouncing. It was just like this perfect blend of all of the wonderful flavors. Oh, so good.
Yes, totally. You water my mouth. Now today I'm going to have to order something.
Me too. I'm like, what can I order from around here that will give me that experience?
I think I'm in the mood for it again.
Natalie, this has been so wonderful, and I cannot thank you enough for joining me this morning.
Well, my thank you for you for inviting me to this beautiful place to have a nice talk. I want it to be like this. I want it to be just what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for meeting you. Mm-hmm. And it's been a pleasure being here with you.
Thank you. I can't wait to visit your restaurant again very soon. Next time I see my parents, I think we'll be swinging by.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Welcome back. I really loved this conversation and the directions we took. I cried during this episode and again while I was editing. I feel incredibly lucky to have met Natalie and to have experienced the love she puts into her meals. You will not be disappointed. To connect with Natalie, visit her website, redsleafcafe.com, and follow her on Instagram at reds_leaf_cafe. You will find the links in the show notes. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating and leave a review. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. Be sure to share these episodes with your friends. If you're finding something good here, they will too. If you're a vegan or know a vegan who would be a great fit for the podcast, follow the Be a Link guest in the show notes. Fill out the quiz and I'll be in touch. I also have a new freebie on my website. Sign up for my mailing list and get a PDF of 3 amazing vegan recipes. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus, and visit my website, didyoubringthehummus.com, for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you want to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.